Can you hear the music?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah, you can. Not a lot of people can hear it. I just moved. Right here. Right here. Right there. Your last person.
Nice.
All right, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick, and shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that incredible intro, outro music. You know, man, he was way back on episode 14. He made that for us. That was huge, you know. And you know, find him everywhere you want to on the socials. I guess he's everywhere. He's just like shredding guitar, man. He just started his own little thing, and just I can't remember what he does. I think he's like an electrician or something like that, but it's only to pay for his music. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And hey, shout out to him. And then on this week's episode, man, I'm pretty pumped. I've been trying to get this guy on for a while, and you know, not as long as some, but like trying to get him on for a while, and his videos are just awesome. I love it. Philly P, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, dude. How you been? You been busy? Like, harvest is over? Like, yeah. You know, what's going on?
Harvest is over, so we've just finished up, like, cleaning up all the fields that we're in. Yeah. So, for anybody at home, I grow almonds. That's kind of like, you know, what I do. But just finished cleaning up all the fields, smoothing them out. And now we're back basically in the shop doing a bunch of maintenance and oil changes and just working on harvest equipment now.
Spending time with the wife and then and the family and whatnot, you know, you had to work really hard all summer and into the harvest. So, you know, that's that. I'm up in northern Alberta working right now, but like I've spent time in Saskatchewan. I don't even know where Saskatchewan is or Alberta and all that, but basically farmland. We're in Canada. We're in northern Canada, and we just went through harvest too.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you guys have up there in like a lot of like what? Hay and wheat and stuff, or
wheat, canola, barley, corn, yeah, like lots of that stuff, you know. And honestly, I'm not a farmer. I'm probably gonna butcher that, so you know, like they're probably gonna come for me at some point. They're gonna be like, hey man, this is just a fraction of what we do, right? So yeah, I know there's a lot of hay up there too, right? They got those little short tiny bales of hay, and then they got the, you know, the much bigger bales of hay. But
yeah,
I don't know, I see them all, so like it's pretty cool. What I've come to learn from being on the internet and from being in certain spaces, proximity doesn't equal knowledge, right? So just because I see farmers everywhere and I'm around it, doesn't mean I know anything about it. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that man. That's a good point. Man, I'm recording this episode from the back seat of a Toyota Tundra.
Oh, nice. I heard those are kind of roomy in the back.
Man, they are. Like,
yeah.
You know, I could do some shit back here for sure.
You know,
tons of room for activities. I'm in camp right now in Fort McMurray, and the Wi-Fi on the last couple episodes I did was a little spotty, right?
Okay.
And my audio was pretty shit. So I'm like, you know what? I've noticed when I'm live streaming, I come outside and it's all good. It's great. So I come outside into the truck. I got the ring light plugged in here in the truck. There's people all around me sitting in their trucks too. They're probably like, what the hell is this guy doing? But hey, whatever. And And the megabytes, the speed download, everything is just so much better out here, you know? And I think this might be my new recording studio when I'm in camp.
Yeah, dude, I hear you. Great. You should get Starlink though. Have you heard about that?
Of course. I want to. It's $120 a month, I think, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't have it, but I know it's a little more pricey. But you can basically take it like up in the mountains with you and pretty much get Wi-Fi anywhere. So
for everyone, I heard the Starlink phone is coming out soon, and
oh, wow.
That's what I want. I've never had anything other than Apple. Right, so like I started off with the very first iPhone, and then you know, right now I'm on like the 15 or whatever it is, and yeah, man, I'd switch to the Starlink phone for sure if it had, you know, Starlink capabilities, like where, you know, you get unlimited Wi-Fi and stuff like that everywhere you go. I'd do that. Hell yeah.
That would be gangster.
It would be. So what are you up to tonight, man? Like what's going on in the house? You got stuff going on. You're just getting off work. It's what, 6 o'clock there, 7 o'clock there.
Yeah, it's almost seven. Are you talking about like my day to day kind of thing?
Well, right now, day to day, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's almost seven there. Like what, you're in what, Northern California?
Yeah, Northern California.
NorCal.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. No, I'm at the gym actually. But today's kind of like my rest day. My body feels like I just got ran over by a truck. So taking a little bit of rest day. And then going out to ice cream with my lady tonight. So, you know.
Nice. You're going to get the ice cream and then you're going to get the ice cream, you know. Like, like you're going for a snack, but it's only a partial snack.
I love just some good ice cream. There's actually a great spot, local spot. Yeah. And they make all their own homemade ice cream and whatnot, and it's one of our favorites. So
nice.
I just had a fun for sure.
It's steak night in camp tonight. So every Wednesday is steak night. They cook you up steaks. You can have as many steaks as you want, right? Oh, wow. Buddy had seven steaks on his plate,
and that'll do something to you later if you know what I mean.
Oh, for sure, man. And like I only had like one. Like, I guess I had two smaller ones. Sure. So, like, I accidentally grabbed the well-done one, and I was like, oh, I touched it, so I got to take it. So, I'm like, oh, whatever. I just smothered it in, like, HP sauce. So.
HP sauce?
HP sauce. You guys don't have HP? It's the brown sauce.
Like A1 sauce?
It kind of. Yeah, I guess it would be, like, A1, yeah.
Okay, and I haven't heard of HP.
You guys don't have HP sauce?
I don't, maybe I'm just dumb, but I've never heard of that.
I don't talk politics, but it's because you're in a Democratic state, my man.
Dude, like, did you see how red it was, though, this election?
I didn't. I'm Canadian, man. I watched a little bit, but, like, you know what? Fuck it. You know what? A little bit.
Yeah.
You got me. A little bit. So, the Democrats were at war with the working class, is what it was.
Yeah, right? Basically.
It's what's happening up here in Canada right now. The Liberal government has gone to war for 9 years against the working class. We're suffering. And we're both.
Can you explain like what the government is like in Canada? Because like some of us don't really understand like
Joe Biden on steroids.
Okay.
Yeah, except for our government's much younger, but like very woke, very loves to spend money, just
really?
spend. You know what? I'm trying to avoid politics. You know what? I'm voting one more time, right? I'm only going to vote one more time, and that's to get rid of our current government. And then once that this current government's gone, I'll probably never vote again because they're all the devil, right? Like, left wing, right wing, two wings of the same bird, right? So. Our government is very incompetent. They couldn't run a coffee stand, let alone a country. So, yeah. Oh, dude, it's brutal. We're in so much debt, inflation. I don't know, man. It's crazy.
It sounds like the way we're going right now.
So gasoline in Canada, right? We pay the equivalent of what, $8 a gallon is what you guys would pay. If you guys were paying what we paid, it'd be $8 a gallon.
No joke.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and I will say for anyone that's listening, so Pierre Poilievre, who's the opposition government, right, he's conservative, and he's running against the Liberal government in the next election. So Pierre has done a really good job at pinning all of Canada's problems on Trudeau. And they're not all Trudeau's fault, but like a lot of them are. Trudeau has fucked a lot of shit up, right? But not as much as Pierre is making it out to be, but he's done a really good job because it's out of anger, right? The people are angry, right? So, you know, yeah, he's done a really good job of being like, hey, this is his fault. And we are paying like 52% tax. So, I mean, maybe it is a little bit, but
ridiculous, but yeah, okay. Smaller the government, the better. You know what I mean?
Yes, Absolutely. And man, what did Trump say? He was going to probably, like, there's like 50,000 government officials that are going to be gone.
Dude,
right?
He's I mean, he learned a lot, it sounds like, from his first run at it, basically with his old mess up with who he's like brought into his cabinet and stuff. And
well,
now all the news is basically just like him just pulling out all these freaking like Republican superstars. And I'm just, you know, a lot of people are liking it. A lot of Democrats hate it. You know,
Of course they hate it. So I saw Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk are going to be in charge of government overreach or some shit like that, which, okay. Vivek Ramaswamy, if I was American, by the way, like that would have been my horse, right? Vivek Ramaswamy was running for the Republican nominee. And like, I'm telling you, I don't pay attention to politics. I lied, but like, I don't like it. So Vivek Ramaswamy was running for the nominee. And he's basically, I think he's 39 years old, so he's a much, much younger Trump, right? Like, he's like, last time around, Trump wanted to drain the swamp, and he failed. But what he did do was he exposed where the drain plug is.
That's a good point. I like
that. That's as far as he could get, was expose the drain plug. And Vivek Ramaswamy said, I'm going to take what he did, and I'm going to run with it. He's like, you guys are not going to, you'll never see what I'm about to do again. And obviously he didn't get to be the nominee and he didn't win. Trump did, but Trump appointed him a special advisor, right? For a reason. Vivek Ramaswamy's got a very bright political future in the US, right? And I think he's going to do some damage here with his role. So yeah, he's very ambitious. I think his parents are of East Indian descent. So, you know, like, you know, first visible minority that would, I guess Barack Obama would have been.
Yeah, you got Obama. And Kamala, like, she was a single minority combined. You know, she was the ultimate like minority.
Yeah. So, fuck politics. We're done with the politics shit.
Yeah, yeah, you're good.
We're done with the politics. I fucking hate politics, man. My whole social media, I just avoid it like the plague, right? Like, that's I tried to joke about politics one time on Instagram, and I bled followers for a week.
Really?
Yeah, man. I can't talk politics on the socials.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
That's surprising for, like, your social, because it's a very much a blue-collar crowd.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are you know, outside of the blue collar crowd too, right? Because they're blue collar curious, or you know, they're definitely looking to get into it, right? So like, I notice I'm from back east, right? And there, you know, when I'm out there, a lot of people are like, oil and gas, you guys are a bunch of druggies and cheaters and all this shit. And it's like, bro. Like, is that all you know about oil and gas? And you're killing the planet. Is that all you know about oil and gas? Like, if that's all you have to contribute to this conversation, it's not going to end well for you, right? Yeah. And so we dive into it, and they usually don't like where it goes. You know, Alberta, you know, makes the oil and gas. Alberta, Saskatchewan, parts of BC make the oil and gas, and they get all that oil and gas revenue, right? But the way Canada is, we have to share that oil and gas revenue between the have-not provinces, which are like the provinces without money, right? So Alberta doesn't get to keep any of the money it makes, right? A lot of it goes to like Manitoba, Ontario, and Quebec. Ontario and Quebec get the lion's share. Quebec coming in at $21 billion a year they get, because on paper they are a have-not province. But under the table, they get a lot of money from their energy, their electricity industry. They sell a lot of it. They're probably one of the richest provinces, and the government sort of caters to, every government does. Every government Canada has caters to Quebec, right? And they've tried to separate before, right? So like, you know, it's not even our official French-speaking province. That'd be like New Brunswick, but they're a French province, I guess. And so, like, you know, they tried to separate. And when they held the referendum and it didn't go in their favor, there was backlash there. And governments all, you know, hey, we gotta like, appeal to Quebecers. We got to, like, you know. And the Quebec government that they have is called the Bloc de Québécois. And they run based off of separating. They want to separate from Canada, right? then they run off it all the time. They're very popular. Why they have a federal party is beyond me, because like federal party takes care of the whole country, where the bloc is just like, we're going to separate. Right. And yeah, man, Canada is a very, very fractured country. Actually, if you look at it, Newfoundland doesn't want to be here. They never wanted to sign. Quebec and Newfoundland are always beefing over who owns Labrador. Quebec doesn't want to be here. New Brunswick doesn't want to be here. Alberta doesn't want to be here. And Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Northern BC will follow whatever Alberta does. So, like, you know, the Canada doesn't want to be Canada, right?
Yeah, it sounds like a little bit of a mess. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and where I am and where I live, we're known as Texas North, right? We're like, yeehaw, cowboy, let's drill, baby, drill, right?
Okay. So you guys have your own, like, side of, like, Western, like, cowboy style of Canada.
That's basically where I live.
Okay.
That's where I live.
That makes sense.
Yeah, man, it's very redneck. Yeah, nice. Very red. It's fun. It's funny to watch. It's funny to be a part of, right?
I bet.
Yeah. So, fuck the politics stuff. I'll have politic conversation all night as long as it doesn't get, like, divisive, right? I don't like that shit. But, so, you're an almond farmer.
That's right.
Right? You blow squirrels the fuck out of the ground, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Dude, the very first video I saw of yours was that one where you could actually see the squirrel, like, flying. And I can't, someone sent it to me. And when I watched that, I'm like, oh my God, I watched it probably 20 times. I'm just like, man, that is awesome. And I'm like, follow, right? And then I watched you go from, like, I think you had 50 or 60,000 followers at that time.
I don't even, when I posted that video, I was like maybe 10 to 20K.
Wow.
I think. Wow. Yeah. Like, do you want me to just start from the beginning of, like,
start from the beginning?
I guess we can go way back to, like, 2020. This is pre-COVID. Actually, like, maybe 2019, 18. Basically, I'm hanging out with my buddy. And ever since I've been little, me and my buddy, he's my next-door neighbor. His name was Tyler. Basically, we would always, like, come up with contraptions or watch YouTube videos on how to make, like, potato cannons or, like yeah, blow darts out of PVC pipe and stuff. And, like, pretty much that just was our whole childhood. It was, like, inflicting pain through, like, mechanisms that we've designed and stuff. Normally he took most of the pain, but basically that got us up until pretty much my first year of college. I was over at his house. He moved away a little bit, kind of to a private lake community, and basically we had potato cannons at that time, and his family had a lemon tree. So we started loading up the potato can with lemons and just launching them straight into the lake in this, like, HOA private community. And basically, like, this was, like, right when TikTok was starting out, because that's kind of where I got my start, was on TikTok. Basically, I was like, why don't I take a video of this? I'm gonna say some funny stuff and launch this thing in the lake. And so he did, took a video, posted it that night, and then basically that first video got over, like, 500,000 views on TikTok. And, like, from there just started progressing into, like, how to make a potato cannon. And then we brought the Rodinator, which was, you know, it's blowing up squirrels and stuff. So that progressed for a couple years on TikTok. So that's where my larger following is on TikTok. And then this year, what's that?
How many followers you got on TikTok?
That's like 217K.
Good for you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I got 70. I'm almost at 78K over there.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
There you go. I feel like TikTok's a lot different.
I'm like not blowing squirrels up, though. So.
Yeah, dude. I get my content taken down on TikTok very often.
I bet you do. I bet you do.
They're so sensitive over there. But, yeah, so basically TikTok was where I really started off. And then up until, like, I guess this year was when I really started, like, expanding to other platforms. And I've always had Instagram, but I never posted my videos on it. So then basically August of this year, I started posting my actual, like, TikToks or reels and stuff. And I started actually editing them on Instagram, which helped a lot. I think that actually boosted my views more for some reason. And then through that, I was at like 10K. And then I posted that one video where you can see the squirrel getting blown out of the hole. And yeah, and I just hit 100K today.
Congratulations, man. That's huge.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
You know, so. You have a bigger following on TikTok, but I don't know if you've heard this or not, but Instagram is harder and whatnot. And it's like, apparently, I think it's something like your following on Instagram is like having double that anywhere else, right? So like your following on Instagram means way more than your following anywhere else. Not saying the people aren't, you know, it's the number, right? Just because of what Instagram means and what it takes to grow on that app, because it is harder to grow on Instagram than it is on TikTok, right?
Absolutely.
Maybe not for you, but like, you know, like it is. It took me a while to get to 10K on Instagram. And then, you know, I don't even care about the numbers behind my name. I'm like, you know, I'm having fun. I throw the video out. If it does good, it does good. Great. If it doesn't, I don't care. I move on to the next one. Right. And you know, when I look at the number and it's like, fuck yeah, that one popped right off. That's good. So, and Instagram sometimes takes weeks or months to pop off. Like I got a video right now from like last year, I'm gaining followers off of it. And I go back and I look, I'm like, shit, that was only at like a million before. Now it's at 8. Right. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, and I can usually tell because when people are sharing your stories, where they're sharing your videos to their stories, like that video is from last year, and like I've been tagged 15 times today. It's like, what? And everyone is like, that one. It's like, oh, okay. So then I go look back at that video, and like the last time I looked, the numbers are higher. I'm like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So that's where that one's at, right? And yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. Enjoy it.
It is. I feel like Instagram too, like the followers I get from Instagram are actual like fans of me and my content much more than TikTok, where it's just like I don't feel like it's as personable, where like I don't have a connection with them as much.
Yeah.
But like I have like a consistent like group of guys on Instagram that, you know, always are looking forward to my videos and stuff, and it keeps me like encouraged to make stuff for them. And like I feel like it's much different and more rewarding a little bit on Instagram. I don't know if you feel that way, but.
So this past summer, I actually took a step back from like TikTok, and I played a little bit more on Instagram. Right. And I'm like, all right, let's play with this. Right. And I never created any videos on Instagram because the editing features are a lot more complex than TikTok. TikTok's very simple. Right.
Yeah.
But a couple weeks ago, I was like, fuck it. I was at work and I had some time, and I went and I played around with the editing tools on Instagram. And like, you know, once you get a hang of them, they're a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, dude.
Right? It's harder to sync up like words with Instagram though, when you're trying to like lip sync. Like I find it more difficult than TikTok.
Lip sync, like you have like words over your video type of thing?
Where like you're trying to, where you use a sound and you're trying to match your lips to that sound. Yeah, well, I do a lot of those videos, right? And I find it a lot harder to match that sound to what I'm trying to do on Instagram. But like like I said though, you know, a little bit more playing around, and I'll probably figure it out. So
yeah, I mean, that's when I really saw a big change in my following, was editing on Instagram. I don't know if it's the algorithm or whatever, if it can like sense that I've already like pre-made the video on another like app or something, but I feel like that was really helpful for me. So maybe that'll help you if you keep doing that.
Yeah, I'll try that. You know, I'm always down to try stuff. I don't know though. Like, you know, we're creatures of habit, right? And I mean, you know, you gotta like, in order to obtain things you've never had, you must be willing to do things you've never done. So like, you know, I'll probably try something out like that. You know, I just been doing it. I've been creating content for 4 years now, right? And I've been doing it the same way or a certain way, and it works for me, right? So, if it works, maybe this new way works a little better or differently, it doesn't hurt to try it. So
yeah, I mean, if you don't stray away from what works for you, you know.
Yeah,
it's working. Yeah, it's working.
Yeah, man. And I was gonna ask, how did you like? Did you inherit this Ammon farm, or like, was it? Did you buy it, or what? Like, how did you?
Got, on- So this is not my, I'm not taking any ownership of any of the ranch. This is strictly my grandpa's.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So I just work out there, first of all. So I'm very, very lucky to be able to actually be able to work out there for my grandpa. And then my dad is also who I work under as well. Wow. So I started out there.
I thought that was all you.
No, not at all. I could never take credit for all that. That is not me. But no, I started out there probably late high school. Just, you know, odds and ends, splitting wood. We got, you know, trees. So obviously you're going to have firewood. But so started, you know, splitting wood and then just slowly progressed into, you know, operating equipment and then just, you know, basically more responsibility as I spent more time working out there on the ranch, basically.
How old are you?
I'm 25.
Oh, shit, man. I thought you were a little older than that. Good for you.
No, I'm 25. No, I just graduated college like 2 years ago, I think. Okay. It was about 2 years ago. Yeah, I went to a local. What's up?
What'd you take?
I went to, basically got agriculture business as my degree.
Okay.
So it kind of fits, you know.
Yeah.
But I went to a community college to start for 2 years because they had like a good program going, and then transferred over to university and finished up there. And honestly, I didn't know actually during that time if I was really wanting to do ag or not. Like, I was still very on the edge, not knowing what to really do. But it turned out it worked out, and all this social media stuff kind of came out of it as well. So I'm not complaining. Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, man! I love that. What did your grandpa and your dad think about the whole Rodinator thing? What do they think of it?
Honestly, they really like it. They love watching the videos for sure. I think at first they kind of thought it was just this kind of like funny like little thing that I made a video and all people watched it and type of thing. And then they started following me, and I think they started seeing the amount of like views and the amount of people like that are watching me blow up squirrels in their orchard, or, you know, working in the shop or around the shop. And I think they, you know, started to realize, like, you know, it's more than just some funny little videos. So they definitely support it, and it's fun to be able to do that.
Did you make the Rodinator yourself, or is that a company like has that? Because like you said, there's a giveaway for one coming up, right?
So, like, I think the original Rodinator came out maybe in the early 2000s.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that. I may be really wrong on that. But basically, it was, like, a farm show, like, product, basically. Like, you go to the World Ag Expo or whatever, and the guy had the Rodinator with the video showing him blowing up gopher holes and squirrel holes in the background type of thing. And at the time, it was a super large, like, long... And it was like the first Rodinator I used in my videos. And basically they got bought out by a company called Varmint Getter. So Varmint Getter, they're loaded. I think they're in Idaho. And basically they basically like redesigned it a little bit to be a little more safe. Because the old one had like the ignition attached to the actual like gas stick. And then the new one has like a corded extended igniter. So basically Varmint Getter acquired Rodinator, and like they make the product, and I just use it on my ranch. I don't own anything of it. Yeah.
I love watching that, man. I remember, like I said, when I first saw that first video, when I watched that and the squirrels just went and like landed on the ground, I'm like, no way. Like, PETA's losing their shit over this, right? Like you probably have like, man, the vegan teacher or whatever the hell her name was on TikTok, man, she must fucking hate you, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
yeah, man.
I haven't heard anything from her, but
How about PETA? Have you heard anything from them?
No, nothing. They have had I've looked into it just to make sure, like, I know the legal side of it all, just because I am posting it. They have had a few like legal cases, I think, about like a park district, like a community park district, using the Rodinator to get rid of gophers and stuff. And I don't think they actually ended up winning the case or anything.
Yeah,
because it despite what people think, it is actually pretty humane in how it takes care of animals. It's very quick and effective.
Well, you're pumping the gas down there, right?
Yeah, it's just propane and oxygen.
They probably don't feel a thing. They're probably either high or passed out by the time that explosion comes.
Right. Most likely they're asleep just because of the lack of the propane in their system. And, like, you know, I can go into specifics on how it all works as far as what goes. But, you know, when, like, you inhale that much gas as a small animal and you have a large fireball coming at you, most likely it's going to go take care of business everywhere else too. So
I love that you're like, boom, squirrels are asleep, right? We're about to put some squirrels to sleep here, you know? And like,
yeah,
I love that, man. And like, I knew from that first video, I'm like, I have to have this guy on my podcast, right? Like, I have to. And then I started watching your other videos, I hit the follow button, watched all the other videos, and I'm like, this guy is like, it's funny, it's blue collar as shit. And what better person to have on my podcast than that, right? Like, that's like, oh, fuck, man. Like, that is incredible. Like, I love what you do. So,
well, I appreciate it. It's definitely not at all what I thought I'd be doing, I guess, being 25 now. And like, you know, like, I'm going to like the gym or like to a store and people are like, hey, you're the guy that blows up squirrels. And I'm like, yep, that's me.
That's me, man. That's me.
Yeah.
Man. No, that's fucking incredible, man. Being an American, do you make money off your content?
I do. TikTok is where I make money as like per view, basically. And it's okay. It's not like amazing. I'm not like gonna be a full time influencer. I'm still gonna work on my. I joke with my dad and my grandpa because they're worried about me leaving. Because I'm making all the money off social media. And I'm like, I made social media because I'm working on your ranch. Like, I can't leave.
Yep.
I want to keep
That's
making
exactly
my videos.
What it is for me. That's what it is for me, man. I made social media and it took off for me because I work in the field. I work in the oil and gas industry and I make videos on site. Like, I've backed myself into this corner. I can't leave. No matter how much it takes off for me, no matter what happens, I have to be here now, right? And I just got a new job, you know, the job that I started, you know, when I first started doing TikToks and making the videos and stuff like that. That job was stressing me out. I was there for 7 years. I probably stayed 4 years too long. And, you know, I was afraid to leave because my content did so well there. I attributed or made the connection in my brain that my content was because of where I was working. Right. Mm-hmm. And that really did some shit, man. I ended up working, you know, 6 weeks at a time straight before going home for a week. Ended up doing some, like, you know, I was on call 24/7. I was either working 4 hours or 40. And, you know, it was like, you know, it was good. It was good when I needed a job 7 years ago, it was there for me and it fit my lifestyle. But as we've progressed, especially with the social media thing, like where I want to take it and where I want to go with it, especially the podcast, it no longer fit my lifestyle. It was more of a hindrance. It was in the way of my content. And so the last little bit, I was looking for a way out and I found it, right? Now I'm on a set schedule. I'm home every 20 days. I go home for 10. They fly me back and forth and I'm not working on call anymore. So, I work a 12-hour day. I can be like, hey, you want to do a podcast tonight at 8:00? And I know I'm going to be there at 8:00. Right. And whereas before it's like, hey, you want to do a podcast today? And then at like 7:00, it's like, hey, we got to reschedule. And it happened a lot.
Yeah, how recent was that change? Was that pretty recent?
I've been here about a month now.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been here about a month now. I went home once already, and I guess tomorrow is day 8 out of 21 that this hitch is going to end up being. So day 8 of 21, they just fly by. They just fly by now, right? It's just like, man, like, I'm not going to be here 6 weeks. I'm only here for 20 days, 21 days. You know, like, okay, cool. And they just... they just go, right?
Yeah. And so were they both in the oil field, both those jobs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, two very different sides of the oil field, though. I have this conversation a lot, and today was the last time I had it. Whereas, like, you know, I was in Fox Creek, Alberta. Love that place. You know, a lot of people have a lot to say about Fox Creek. It's on it's in a very different side of the oil patch, right? It's on call, it's all service work, or you're working on a rig, and you know, it's feast or famine all the time, right? Whereas I'm now in Fort McMurray, and Fort McMurray is like, it's all mining, it's all mine work, and they're extracting all the tar sands, and so here it's like very by the book, very like follow the rules, very safety orientated, and you know, a lot of people, they come here to retire. This is where a lot of old boys come, and they're put out to pasture, right? They're like, hey, you know what, like the mining side of things is guaranteed work. It's going for decades to come still, right? Like no matter what the price of oil's doing, the mines are still, they're still popping off, right? Sure. So, you know, and it's very, it's a lot more laid back, a lot more laid back, right? So it's two different sides of the oil field, like cowboy versus like, hey, follow the rules or you're gone, right? So, okay. And I talked to an old boy the other day about it, and he's like, I've been up here 25 years. He's like, I get to retire in two more. He's like, did I like following the rules for 20 some odd years? Nah. He's like, it's annoying as fuck, but it fed my family and the money was guaranteed. So, you know, like it was, you know, so, and that's why I'm here. I'm here for a better lifestyle, right? Than what I was doing. And now that the longest I spent in was 6 months at a time. And that right there is, that was killer on my relationship with my wife. You know what I mean? Like, we're still together, but like, you know, yeah. How, I don't know, right? Like how she managed to survive that with me is beyond me, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive. I mean, I definitely would not want to be away from family or friends for that long. That's a long time.
It's not easy. It's not easy. In fact, that's the hardest part about working in the oil field. Everyone thinks it's this kind of toughness. It's all up here.
Okay.
Right? It's all mental toughness. They pay you for the life, like lifestyle that you're ingrained yourself into. That, you know, Ben Allen Curry has a song called Oilfield Money, and he was on the podcast, and one of his lines of his song was, I don't make a good life, I just make a good living, right? And that hits hard, right? Because like you're making that money. And yeah, you have a truck and you got all this other stuff. You're going on the vacation when you can, but like, you know, you're gone for weeks or months at a time. Right. And you know, you're watching your kids grow up through a phone screen, you know, you're celebrating anniversaries or happy anniversary. You know, I have to, what day is it here? Holy shit. My anniversary is in 4 days, so I guess like, yeah, you know, you're celebrating anniversaries over the phone, you're celebrating birthdays over the phone, you're missing everything, right? Bubba Reeves has a song right now, and he's like, hey, you know what, I'm gonna sacrifice my life to give my kids everything, and I'm gonna miss it all, right? And that's oil field life, man, you know. And it is what it is, you know. You got to make that money, you know. A lot of us don't have much going on in the town we're from, right? A lot of people are from the East Coast of Canada. There's not a lot of work out there, so they fly out here, right? Mm-hmm. And they have a good life.
Is it worth it, you think? Like,
I think so. I think so. It is what you make of it, right? Like anything else. Maybe it was all like what I made it just sound like was bad. I don't know. I'm not trying to, but like, you know, you learn a lot about yourself, right? You learn, you know, what you're willing to do and what you're willing not to do for money. It really pushes you to your boundaries mentally, sometimes physically. Sometimes it gets you down mentally, sometimes it gets you down physically, and then there are days where it gets you down both at once, yeah. Right? And you got to, like, figure out a way how to just keep on trucking through that. And, you know, mental health is a huge, very huge thing in the industry, right? It's becoming a lot bigger than what it was, right? And we're all like talking to each other more about it, so which is good, right? The podcast is very mental health and blue collar, you know, meet each other. So like, it's,
I've definitely had depression before, felt, you know, I think I did, definitely went through like a breakup that really messed me up, and coming out of that, you definitely learn a lot when you're in the, you know, the darkest part of it. Coming out and looking back, I think you see the most knowledge, like, afterwards, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That's definitely what got me the most, but I don't know. I put a lot of my trust in Jesus. I'm a strong believer in Jesus and in Christ, and that's where I think I've found the most security, at least for myself, in that
whatever
type of
whatever helps, man. You know, whatever you got to do to help you get your ass out of bed in the morning. You know, like whatever helps those feet slide over, hit the ground, and you continue on with your day. You know, it doesn't matter. A lot of people, oh, I don't believe in Jesus or I don't believe in that, and like, who cares? Who cares what another person needs to get through with it? You know what I mean? Yeah. We're all in this ride together, right? So yeah, it's been a lot of fun, you know, like learning about, you know, different people and stuff on the podcast, and you know, I get all kinds of people on, and it's why I do it, man. 'Cause I like to network. Networking, take me back to high school, take me back to middle school. I was always networking with, you know, I wasn't a jock. I wasn't a goth. I wasn't a nerd. I wasn't whatever. I was ingrained in every circle, right? And I networked. I made friends in every circle, and it was like, hey, man, like, all right, well, you're going to teach me this, or I'm going to teach you this, and we're gonna have fun. And then I would integrate the two or the three, you know, people from everyone. I'm like, hey, man, let's get together and go do this, right? And then, you know, it's helped at work a lot, right? My whole new job here, I networked, and a guy that follows me on TikTok that I follow, and he's got a following and whatnot, he owns this company, and he's like, hey man, I know you can do this work. You've done it. It's very similar to the work that you were doing for 7 years. He's like, you have a whole ass fucking TikTok and Instagram social media platform showing that you can do this work. It's become like a resume, right? And it's like, hey, come work for me, and this is what I can offer you. And it was like, what he offered was too good to pass up. So here I am.
That's awesome. I mean, have you gotten any other like offers and stuff from social media besides that?
Oh, well, yeah. What kind of offers are we talking about here? Because I've been offered a lot of things from a lot of gay people. $20 deal to make content for his personal collection, and oh hey man, hey, you know what, dude, it was a lot of money. It was a lot of money.
How much you talk?
$1,400.
Wow.
Yeah.
Insane. Okay, well, besides that stuff, like what about like brand deals or like any other like job offers you've gotten or anything like that?
I've gotten a few job offers off it, but nothing that would make me make that jump and quit, right? But also, can you hear the beeping?
No.
Okay, good. Dirty hands, clean money, you know, use code FROST10. I know you're part of it now.
Yeah.
When our boy Tron was like, hey, who should be part of this group? Like, you know, that who do you guys see around on the internet? I was like, fucking Philly P, get this guy in here right now.
I appreciate it. Thank you for that, by the way. I haven't really
thanked hell
you.
Yeah, man. Really hell yeah. That. Hell yeah. You know, I get lots of hats and shirts for free and stuff like that. Heat Waves, my sunglasses, they're a sponsor.
Sweet.
Yeah, man. There's a few things there. I hope I'm not missing anything, but which would perfect segue though, because like, do you know what viscosity is?
Viscosity?
Yeah, do you know what viscosity is?
As far as like as of a liquid, or are you talking about like a brand?
Yeah. No, the liquid.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's viscosity in your own words? Like, how would you describe viscosity? How would you define it?
I would say you can compare it probably to like hot syrup, to like honey, to you know, like being the viscosity of hot syrup's very thin, but honey is very thick, and you're probably going to be using that in terms of oil. So if you're talking.
Kinda, yes. So the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, like, okay. And the Mudman deals in viscosity, the resistance, the fluid going downhole, right? And you know, if it's too viscous, he's got to make it less viscous. If it's not viscous enough. He's got to make it more viscous, right? And, you know, the Mudman deals in the thickness of your load, right? So how thick is your load? You know, like, it's pretty thick, I think. You know, you're a young man and I'm a young man, and, like, you know, shit happens, right? So so the Mudman deals in all that, you know, all, for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, check out the Mudman at www.mudmanmarket.com. And I always fuck up that website, I think, but I hope I got it right this time. The Mudman, you know, he helped me fix my audio issues I was having. He got me a headset and a mic. And then way back in, like, episode 15 or whatever it was. And then he recently, this past summer, he's like, how else can we kick this podcast up a notch? And I don't need the mic and the headset all the time now, because he bought me a MacBook Pro. You know, we're recording on a MacBook Pro, and I still say it's brand new. But yeah, man, he bought me this MacBook Pro, and this is what I record on now, and I can edit a lot better and a lot easier. And yeah, man, it's...
So it's like basically your podcast sponsor.
Yeah, I got a couple now. Nice. The Mudman's the original, the OG one. And another one, I guess, would be... So when you're working, you wear steel-toe boots?
Yes, sir.
Steel-toe boots, gloves, glasses, all that stuff. And you know how expensive that can get, right?
Oh, yeah. They're not cheap.
Oh, yeah. So the podcast is sponsored by Brasco Safety, right? And Brasco Safety deals in PPE, right? And so I was thinking, like, man, how can I give back to, you know, my community, my blue-collar brothers and sisters, right? And what better way than to team up with a, you know, a workplace PPE supplier, right? And it's and whatnot. And so they deal in boots, glasses, coveralls, hard hats, gloves, all that stuff. And, you know, if you use code FROST10 when you go to BrascoSafety.com, right, you save 10% on your PPE, right? Which is crazy, which is amazing. And, you know, they're based out of Alberta here, but they ship all, like, I think their distributors are in the U.S., so they ship, like, all over the U.S. and Canada.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Man, and that's where, you know, this has been a lot of fun, right? Like, being able to do all this and then, you know, partner up with other people that also want to, you know, make a difference, right? Absolutely. And, yeah, man, I think it's been a lot of fun. Like, but, like, there's a lot of onboarding paperwork going on with it, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. We're also sponsored by BetterHelp, unofficially right now, which is pretty cool. You know, the whole blue-collar mental health thing, right?
Yeah.
The whole blue-collar mental health thing. Sorry, my phone rang. You know, we can give back that way, too. You know, BetterHelp, get yourself 10% off when you need some therapy, right?
Wait, so how did you get started in the oil field? I don't know if I've ever, like, heard that.
Yeah, so I'm originally from back out in Ontario, which is, we call it the Middle East, but, like, it's just Middle East, Canada. So I was out there, and we moved out west, like, way back in 2008. And, you know, I didn't want to move out west just to make shitty money, right? But I ended up making shitty money. I was working at Leon's Furniture in the warehouse, making $13 an hour, thinking, man, I didn't move across the country for this, right? And I ended up working with a guy who just got laid off from the rigs. And he was telling me about the money he made and how great it was and how this sucks. And I got to talking to him, like, well, what do I need to get started in the oil patch? You know, and he's telling me all the tickets I needed and whatnot, how I go about getting that stuff. And so I started working towards getting those tickets. I saved up and I went and bought my own tickets and, like, my H2S and my first aid and stuff like that. And then I started looking for work. And my wife didn't think that it was that serious. She didn't think I'd actually find something. So she's like, yeah, knock yourself out. Right. And then so when I started applying, I applied for one job, and within 2 hours, maybe, they called me back. They're like, when can you start? Let's go. Right. And I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. So I told her about it. And yeah, so I went out to Grand Prairie, Alberta for the first time. I was living in Saskatoon, and which is another province over. And I got in there and I just got my foot in the door. I was there for like 8 months or so. And then it was like time to take that next leap, right? So I kept doing that. And, you know, it's been 13 years now, man. It's been 13 years of oil patch life, and it's been a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of the countryside, got to experience a lot of cool things.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
It's been a blast. It's been a ride, that's for sure. And look where it's gotten me now, right? Like the last 4 years, making content about it. The last almost 2 years, have a whole podcast where, you know, it started off very oil field based, but I was like, hey, you know what? Like, why don't we just talk to blue collar workers in general from all over the place? I'm talking to an almond farmer from California right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Just like the amount of reach. Man. Grow. Yeah. That's insane.
Where do you see your content going? Like, where do you want it to go? What's the bigger picture?
I've had definitely some big ideas. I don't know how far out they may be, but I do enjoy watching a lot of like Demolition Ranch, their videos, and just there's certain inspirational people that I watch that, like, you know, there's certain, like, I'd like to be able to get to that size one day, but I would not mind being able to maybe make my own area or land or ranch where I can blow up stuff and shoot guns and, like, you know, just basically do whatever I want to do in any video and just video, like, and that not necessarily like it's going to happen because it is in California, obviously. Yeah. So I don't really know right now. I'm actually very happy with how things are going. But I don't know, I guess it's still up in the air as far as a long-term vision right now. I don't know.
Can you hear that beeping?
I'm hearing a little bit. Is that...
I'm in the back seat of the truck, right? Let's see this here. You know what? I had to have that. Whatever, we're good.
All right, you're good.
We're good. Ah, the light's gold. Hey, look at that. Yeah, we're good. Look at the light. All right, we're fine. Yeah, no, that beeping was really annoying the hell out of me. I know that.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I couldn't hear it that loud, but definitely, if it's annoying you, you got to stop. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, I think it was because these trucks now, if you run them for too long, they're like, hey, you know, you're idling, and they don't like that, right? It's the trucks are Democrats.
What truck you in right now?
I'm in a Tundra, so it's brand new.
Right. That's right.
I think there's only like 1,900 kilometers on it.
Is it a work truck, like a Tundra work truck?
Oh yeah,
really?
Yeah.
What motor? Is it the gasser?
Yeah, it's a gasser. Yeah.
Look, yeah, I've never.
Hold on a second. We'll do this. Boom! Hey.
Oh, there you are.
Let's see if that works. It's kind of creepy. I like it.
No, you look good.
Yeah. There we go. We'll leave it right here. Maybe? I don't know. There we go. Kind of. Ha! Let there be light.
Nice.
Yeah, man. So if people listening don't know who you are or where you're at or whatever, like, where can we all find you on the socials, man? Like, what social platforms are you on, and what's your name there?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram as Philly P, TikTok as Philly P, and then I'm also on YouTube. It's the OG Philly P on YouTube because I couldn't get the Philly P, you know, regular, but I'm on basically those three platforms, mainly TikTok and Instagram right now. And that's like where you can find me and my videos. That's pretty much where I'm at.
Hell yeah, man. I love that. Oh my God. Hold on one sec. I'm going to put this on mute for a sec. I'm going to have
to edit it.
I'm going to call from my boss. Hold on one sec.
No worries.
Hey, buddy.
All right. You back?
Yeah, I'm back, man. I'm back. Sorry about that, dude. Yeah, man, I'm pretty pumped. You know, the podcast, we just passed over episode 100 last week. Yeah, man. So man, I'm excited. You know, we wanted to get Mike Rowe on for episode 100, right? And we tried. We really went hard at it for, like, you know, a good 8 months or so. But he requires like quite the hefty fee, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he charges like 50 to 100 grand to go on a podcast virtually. Wow. Yeah, so we worked hard. We tagged him. We reached out. We did everything we could. And, like, you know, it just didn't work out. And I had to be okay with that for, like, the last, like, 6-8 months, whatever it was. I went hard at him knowing that, like, hey, if this doesn't happen, I have to be okay with it and I can't be disappointed, yeah. Right? So I wasn't. I wasn't disappointed. I get it. And so we had Gord, my good buddy Gord, on from the Second Act podcast. And he's been on mine a couple of times, and I've been on his a couple of times. And, you know, he's been a real mentor for me, right? Like, I was on his before I even had one. And, you know, so, he's been a real mentor. And I enjoy his show, and I enjoy his feedback, and I enjoy just this banter. So, you know, he listens to every episode, and he gets back to me, and he's like, hey, man, great episode. Or, hey, man, like, you know, maybe do better next time, right? So it's good. You know, what's that?
That's about your podcast, like doing better?
Yeah, like the audio or something like that. Or like, hey, man, okay. Like you had an opportunity to ask these kinds of things, but you missed that, right? Or like, hey, man, if you had this person on at the beginning, you probably wouldn't have a show right now, right? Because, like, you know, not you, but, like, someone else that I had on, you know, was just really boring. But I navigated through it, and I made it interesting, right? So, sure. Yeah, it was boring. So, like, no, you're not boring at all, man. This is great. So, like, he helped me through a lot of that. And so we got together, and we just bantered for episode 100. You know, it was, hey, man, like, you know, what have you learned over the last, you know, 100 episodes? And, you know, you've had these people on. What was your favorite? You know, we talked about that stuff, and it was good. You know, it was how I didn't picture that going that way, but I'm glad it went that way. Right.
Definitely. I mean, do you find it easy to take that type of, like, criticism at times, or is it like kind of like a shot to the ego?
No, it's not a shot to the ego at all. It's like, you know, if you're making content online, right, you got to be able to take that criticism from the comment section. And also, we work in oil and gas, you know, the shit on all the time. So, like, you know, but yeah, no, man, I didn't take it personally at all. When anytime I get a comment from anyone, it's like, okay, you're right. Like, how can I do better next time? Or I have that option to be like, hey, this is my show. Go fuck yourself, right?
Good point. Yeah, definitely. I mean, dude, the comment section can be brutal sometimes. I've definitely had my fair share. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It can, man. It's been a fun ride. You know, episode 101, I put one episode out a week for 101 weeks, dude. Like, that's insane to me.
That's impressive. That's commitment, too.
It's been hard. It's been hard. It's been challenging. It's been fun. It's been exhausting. You know, considering that, you know, look at me. I'm in the backseat of a truck right now with the lights not on, right? Because I couldn't do it in my room in camp because the cell service is terrible and it would freeze. Because I'm not home because I'm working away to provide, right? And, you know, there's been a lot of that. There's been a lot of, like, the cell service is terrible. The audio quality is not going to be the greatest. The picture is not going to be the greatest. But, like, you can hear the conversation. It works. We're good. We're blue collar podcast. We're, you know, blue collar is very rugged, right? And very, you know, it's not perfect. The podcast is blue collar. It's rugged and not perfect. We're not Joe Rogan, right?
That's true. I do enjoy a good Joe Rogan podcast as well, but you're right. So, like, when you're putting your podcast out, like, on the platforms and stuff, how do you know, like, whether it did good or bad, or, like, how does it work as far as the podcast side of things go?
So there's a website where I distribute my podcast. I upload it there, and it distributes it everywhere else for me from one spot. And I could go on there. I usually wait the first 24 hours to see how it does in the first 24 hours. And it shows you, you know, total downloads. It shows you, like, how many downloads or streams it got. And then I have the Spotify for Podcasters app, which I got recently, which has been a game changer. I got the Spotify for Podcasters app. You go on there, and it shows you how many of your downloads and streams came from Spotify. and how many you can go on Apple and also do the same thing. And then there's other apps, but it also tell you how many are coming in off of which platform. And it's only like just under 7% of my listeners are on Spotify. Right. So the rest are on Apple, or I think it's 89% Apple or something like that. And then other things, it'll even tell you what they're listening from, how many people are listening from a laptop, a PC, a smartwatch, a phone, you know, it'll tell you that. Right. And that's all pretty interesting. I like looking at that, and it shows you a heat map of where everyone's listening from all over the world. Right. And it's pretty cool. We got listeners in Australia. We got some in the Middle East. We got some in like Europe, all over Europe, something like one in Russia. I like to think it's Putin, but like it's probably
definitely.
Yeah. The lad's just like sitting there like, you crush, shouted me out, you know, like,
Oh man.
Yeah. No, man, it's been a lot of fun, and the analytics that go in.
How many like monthly listeners do you get?
So right now, like, it's around 2,000 monthly listeners.
Okay, right? Nice.
So, and from all over. I haven't looked at that in a little bit, actually. It's probably been a good couple of months since I looked to see how much it's gone up, because I recently started a new segment on my podcast called The Morning Dookie, where, you know, I introduced it. It was outside of the once a week downloads or episodes that get uploaded. The Morning Dookie is me, you know, once or twice a week, you know, just going on for 20 minutes and shooting the shit about whatever, you know, my thoughts for that day. I'll try to have a guest on, and that has really upped the amount of downloads that I've had in a month. Right. So, because, you know, for people that don't feel like they get enough out of the 20 to 30 seconds of a TikTok or Instagram video, but they also don't want to sit there and listen to an hour and a half, 2 hour podcast. Well, here's 20 minutes for you, right? Can you sit through a 20-minute one, right? And the answer to that, I guess, has been an overwhelming, hey, I can fuck with 20 minutes, right? So, it's pretty good. Even my wife listens to this.
Oh, there you go. Wait, how long have you been with your with your wife?
Oh, we've been together for just about 20 years, since grade 11, and then we've been married for 12 years this year.
Well, congrats.
Yeah. Actually, five days from myself. Yeah, 4 days.
Nice. Well, congrats, man. That's exciting.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Send her the buy the mail flowers or whatever, wherever they call them.
Oh, probably, but I think I'll just take her out when I go home on days off 10 days later. So, you know, 10 days after our anniversary, I'll be home. And we'll probably go out somewhere. I'll probably send her some stuff. One year, she's like, I got in trouble for this. She's like, look at my Amazon wish list and send me something off there for anniversary. I'm like, okay. I go on there and there's cleaning supplies and shit. And I'm just like, she said anything off the Amazon wish list. Here you go, right? She didn't like that too much.
Oh, man. That's funny. Also a mistake, but that's funny. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I do shit like that all the time, man. You know, like just intentionally a pain in the ass.
And you got kids?
Yeah, too, man. Is that right? I don't want. Yeah. We got two kids, two daughters. My oldest, just turned 7 3 weeks ago now. And then my youngest will be 5 in March.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah. Very cool. I don't have any. No kids.
It's a good time.
I have a girlfriend, no kids, but I do have a fish. His name is Trout. That's about it.
What kind of fish is it?
It's a betta fish, but it's like it's called a half moon king betta fish. He's really pretty, really big. He tried to kill himself like a month ago, basically, but he's still alive, so that's good.
A suicidal betta fish.
Yeah, dude, I came home like one night after, I was watching a movie or something, came back from that, and I walk into my house, and in my kitchen is my fish tank, and that's where Trout is, and I always look in there to see what he's up to. Usually he's swimming, he's a fish.
Yeah.
But I got home, and he wasn't in there, and the lights are all off, so I start walking towards the tank, and before I put my foot down, I could feel like something on the ground with my foot. And I look down and it's Trout. And he's like bone dry, chilling on the floor. So I like reach down and pick him up, and he like kind of like gives me like a half little like wiggle, like a little flinch, like he's still got something left. And so I like throw him in the tank,
like a magic trick.
I know, and he's alive, and he lived. He had a little bit of like a couple days of like postpartum anti-water depression, but he's good now. I'm all about that, but he's been happy. Yeah. So
he like free willied himself out of the little tank.
Pretty much. That is a great representation of him. Yeah, he definitely did that. Hasn't done it since.
That's crazy, so. Man. Imagine now he evolves into like a Gyarados.
A Gyarados?
You don't watch Pokemon, do you?
I don't.
Oh man.
What is a Gyarados, or whatever you said?
So Magikarp is just like a carp. Is a Pokemon, and he just flops around on the ground. He's the most useless Pokemon ever, like the worst. And okay. Like, you know, he evolves into fucking Gyarados, which is just like he goes from the worst to like the best, which is like this blue water dragon that just messes everything up.
Oh, dang. Okay. I can see Trevor being
you got. Yeah. I'm going to text you the name of Gyarados, the spelling, and you're going to like, you're going to see.
Okay. I look forward. I love learning about new stuff, so that'll be news to me.
So I'm not going to keep you too much longer there, buddy. You know, it's getting late. We've got to get on the time, whatever. You got to get to bed here. I like to wrap the podcast up by asking, you know, one last question there. And Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people up on the rock, right? And depending on who you ask. And if you had your own Mount Rushmore, four people that you look up to, inspire to be there, or that have inspired you, who would they be and why?
Oh, man, dude, that's a deep question real quick. Let me think. Oh, man. I don't know. Is it cliche to say Jesus? Is that?
You see whatever you want, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely putting Jesus on there would be part of mine just because of that relationship I have, in a sense. Definitely my dad. He's taught me so much about how to be a man and how to work, how to be a mechanic, how to deal with relationships and life. And so definitely my dad as well. I put my best friend Tyler up there. He's the one he's the guinea pig of all my testing and stuff. And he's a good friend. Like he will never... He'll never walk out on me. You know, I know he's going to be there when I call. So definitely him. And then probably my little brother, Titus. He's a good kid. And, you know, close with my brother. So, yeah, definitely those four.
Did you say your little brother's name is Titus?
Titus, yeah.
That's a badass name.
Dude, he's got the best one. I'm a little jealous, but it fits him a lot better than me. He's a cool kid.
Well,
he makes music.
Cool name, but yeah, he makes music.
He makes music. He's on Spotify, Lunar Beats. If you guys want to check him out, it's like lo-fi.
I'm checking
background music.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm checking that out, man. But what was I gonna say about that? He's got the badass name, but he doesn't blow squirrels out of the ground.
That's a good point. That is a good point. I could get him out there. We should get him in a video. Titus. Blowing up squirrels.
Hell yeah, do that, man. One more time before we go, how do you say what kind of farm you work on?
It's an Ammon farm.
It's an Ammon farm. Fuck, I love
that's how you
that,
say man. It. There's no other way. You can say almond if you want, but that's kind of, that's just not, it's not right.
Ammon. Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, thanks for camp security asking me if there's alcohol in the vehicle. They see me sitting in the back seat.
Talking to yourself a little bit too much. That's probably
what they're just doing their job, right? You know, it's dry camp. You know, like I said, for Max, very, very by the book, right? Yeah. And they see a guy sitting out here talking on the computer, sitting in the back seat. Who sits in the back seat, right? And you know, they're just doing their job. They're like, hey, any alcohol in the vehicle? No. They keep going. She didn't even look in, dude. She just asked. I could have lied.
Well, you're a good man. I know you don't.
Yeah, I don't really drink anyways, but yeah, man, it would have been she's really on one over there, eh? She's just driving around searching everyone.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, good. Hey, they're doing their job. That's all that matters, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. All right, man. Well, you all have right. you have a fantastic evening. You go and you still got a whole ass evening to have with ice cream and whatnot. So you go do your thing, man, and give your girlfriend. Is she your girlfriend or your wife, fiance? What is she?
Girlfriend right now.
Okay. Right now, for now. There you go. Maybe there's going to be a little ring in that ice cream. All right, man. You go and you give your girlfriend my best, and you guys have a great night.
Thanks, Dick. And talk to you later, man.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, stay frosty.
Yeah, I will. Thanks for having me on, dude.